The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisonai. In this Parsha, we have, at the end of the Sedra, the Techoches, the rebuke, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, we have the Baruches also, what will happen if we listen to the Torah, listen to the mitzvahs, and what will happen if we do not. And in Pasuk, Parshas Chofches, Pasuk Mem He, it states, Uvo alecha kol haklol eso eila, udafucha vihisigucha anti shomdocha. All of these curses will come upon you, they will pursue you, they will catch you until, heaven forbid, they will destroy you. Ki leishamata bekol Hashem elekecho, lishmar mitzveisa v'chukeisa v'asher tzivoch. Because you have not listened to the voice of Hashem to guard his mitzvahs and his statutes which he has commanded you. Then it states, in the following pasuk, two psukim afterwards, Tachas asher le'avarito as Hashem alakecho besimcha uvetuv levov merev kol. Because you do not serve Hashem alakecho, the Lord your God, with simcha, with happiness, with rejoicing, uvetuv levov, and with a good heart, a fullness of heart, a good heart, merev kol, when you had so much. Now it does not state Tachas asher le'avarito as Hashem alakecho, that these curses will come upon you because you have not served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather it says, because you did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with rejoicing and with a good heart when you had so much. So this infers that they did serve Hashem, but not b'simcha, not b'tuv levov. From here we learn that the serving of Hashem, Avedas Hashem, has to be with a great happiness, a great rejoicing, and a great simcha. The Rambam brings on this posuk at the end of Perches Milulav, Hasimcha shisamach odem ba'asiyas ha-mitzvahs u'ba'avos ha-keil shetzivu behen. The simcha, which a person rejoices in when he does mitzvahs, or his love to Hashem, which we are commanded in, avoda gedolahi. That simcha is a great avoda. That simcha is part of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol ha-menea atzme b'simcha zu ra'i li'for mimenu. And whoever refrains from such a simcha, then he will have to give a reason why in the next world. Shneamar, as it states, Tachas asher le'avadato as Hashem elekecho b'simcha uvetuv levov. He brings our posuk that the criticism to Klal Yisrael was that you did not, that you did not serve Hashem, but that you did not serve Hashem with a great happiness and goodness of heart. The Gemara in Masechta Erevin on Daf Yud Aleph goes through a whole discussion on Shira. In the Beis Hamikdash, the temple, at the time of the Korbones, of the sacrifices, we were obligated in Shira. Shira is song. There was both Shira Bepeh, the Shira became Klezemer. There was song which was sung. This was by the Levim, Shevet Levi. And there was song which was played on the musical instruments at the time of the Korbonis, of the sacrifices. The Gemara goes through a discussion. What was the main shear? Was the main shear that what they sang, and the instruments was just a bit background, and so forth? Then the Gemara goes through a discussion that what happens if you bring the sacrifices without the appropriate shear? Do you fulfill the mitzvah of the sacrifices or not? Then the Gemara says, "Minayin le'iko shira min haTorah." Where do we know that there had to be shir, there had to be song, music in the Beis Hamikdash? So amongst the answers that the Gemara gives is Rav Masna Omar Mehocha. Rav Masna says, and he brings our posuk, Tacha sesher le'avadato as Hashem alekecho besimcha v'tuv leivov, eizu hi avedish besimcha v'tuv leivov, heviyay mezu shiro. That you do not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a great rejoicing and goodness of heart. So included in that means that when you bring the korbanos, the sacrifices, there has to be a simcha, and that's the music. Actually, when in our shuls, so when we daven, we daven with a shira. The tefillas are supposed to be with song. Especially when it comes to the Yomim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, which are just around the corner. One of the sources is because our shuls are what we have in place of the Beis Hamikdash. And Unishalma Porim Sforseno, Sifseseno, that when we give Hashem tefillos, our prayers, this is equal to when we gave him the sacrifices. And just like the sacrifices had to be with a shir, with a music, with a song, so must our tefillos also. But also brings Lishmaya el harino el atfilo el harino ve el atfilo, that the tefillo had to be with a rino. So what do we see? That there is a mitzvah of simcha when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this mitzvah, many people feel, is a hidur mitzvah. This means that the mitzvah is a mitzvah under all circumstances. But it's better if you do it this way. Not necessarily so. Because first of all, there's a discussion in the Gemara, whether the shira is mi'akev, that what happens if you bring the sacrifices without the shir? According to one opinion of the Gemara, it's not a sacrifice. So we see it's not a hidur mitzvah, and that's learned out from this posuk. Secondly, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized us and said, because you do not serve him with a great rejoicing, what does that refer to? Uvo alecho kol haklolis ha'ele, that all of these curses will come upon you. Tachas asher le'avadatos Hashem alekecho b'simcha. So we see that it's not merely a hidur mitzvah, that this is a way to do the mitzvah better, but we see that this is an ikar chelek. This is a condition in the mitzvah itself, that the mitzvah must be done with a great happiness. This is how we must serve Hashem, and with a goodness of heart. Today, in our world, one of the great plagues of the world is depression. Just recently, just a few weeks ago, the cover story of one of the international magazines was on this plague of depression. We find so much depression amongst people in the Western world. And we have worry, anger, fears, so forth. These are all things which are contrary to simcha. Now, it's true, we certainly have what to be depressed about. The world is not such a pretty world from many perspectives and from many aspects. We're in the Golush. We do not have our Beis HaMikdash. It's already thousands of years that we've been in the Golush. We've lived through the Holocaust. We live in a world of violence, bloodshed. We live in a world of Kilkul HaDin, the distortion of law and order, the distortion of justice. All types of major sicknesses plague the world. There's Daigas al Panoso, many places. Panoso, to make a living is very, very difficult. We have to work hard. So not that there's not what to be depressed about. But nevertheless, a Jew is still obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. To give an insight as to what is the difference between a Jew that's b'simcha and a Jew that is not, we'll go to a few Gemaras. Firstly, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah in the second parak of Zvochim. A Kohen, when he comes to serve in the Beis HaMikdosh, if he's an Einain, that means that he lost a close relative on that day. And when one loses a close relative, heaven forbid, it states, Achrisa Yemar. The end of every person is bitter. For the relatives, it's a loss. So then, Avedosa Psula. He's not allowed to serve that day in the Beis HaMikdosh. And if he does, his Korban, his Posel, is disqualified. What do we see? We see that when a Kohen served in the Beis HaMikdosh, if he was Besimcha, then it was a good Avoda. If he was in a situation of being depressed, there that day he can't help it. He's in a situation of being depressed. His avoda, his service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was rejected. The korban is possible. Another example, the Gemara brings, I believe this is a Gemara in Meir Koton, Shlomim, when one of the sacrifices that Yisrael would bring would be called Mishlomim. So the Gemara darshins, Shlomim, Bizman Shehu Sholem. When can a Jew bring a Korban Shlomim? When he himself is Sholem. Sholem means when he's full. If it's a day when he has lost a close relative, he cannot bring the Korban Shlomim. So we see even by a regular Jew cannot bring a sacrifice on that day because he's considered a half a person, a halber mensch. And he has to be a full person when he brings the sacrifice. So here we see you. This means a Jew, when he's with Simcha, he's a full person. Bisman Shehu Sholem. When he's depressed, he becomes Kechatzi Ish. He's a half a person. Bisman Shehu Sholem. Velei Bisman Shehu Chosar. Not when he's lacking. Another example. The Gemara brings him Sochim and Avkuf Yudzayin. David HaMelech had a lot of tzoras in his life. He didn't have an easy life. He was rejected. He was rejected by his brothers. He was rejected by Shaul. He had plenty of political battles and so forth and so on. The fact is, there's a Medrash that states that three measures of Yisurim, three measures of hardships, came to the world. One measure was given to David. One third of all of the hardships that came to the world, that was David's lot. When he wrote the Sefer Tehillim, and there he sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara brings, sometimes it states, Le David Mizmor, and sometimes it states, Mizmor Le David. Le David Mizmor, to David. There is a song to Hashem. Sometimes it states Mizmor le David, a song of David to Hashem. What's the difference? Le David Mizmor malamet shishor solov shechina v'achachach omer shiro. When it says le David Mizmor, to David there was a song to Hashem, this means that Shechina was with him and he wrote a song to Hashem. First he was David, and then Mizmor, then he sang to Hashem. Mizmor le David, but when it states a song for David to Hashem, Melamed Shom Ashira ve'achakach Shor Solom Shechina. This means that he was not able to write. He was disturbed that day. He had a hard day. Sat down to write, didn't go. He tried again and again, wouldn't go. So first would be Mizmor. So he would start playing music for himself. And then Mizmor le David, then he came to himself, to David. And then he wrote to Hashem. So when it states David first, this means David was in his fullness, le David Mizmor, and he sang to Hashem. When it says Mizmor le David, it means that he was chosar, he wasn't in his fullness. He was a broken person. And he had to first sing and play on his kinor, on his harp, Mizmor, before he came to become David, and then he sang to Hashem. L'lamdecho she'en ha'shchina she'ra. From here we learn that the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not dwell with a person. Le'miteich atzlus. If he's sluggish, and he's sleepy, he's tired. Let me take atzfus, if he's depressed. Let me take shchek, if he's full of folly. Let me take kalisresh, if he's lightheaded. Let me take dvorim betelim, or if he's empty. Many times you have people, we just feel very heavy and sluggish. And it's difficult. We lack this rizus, we lack this zeal. That's atzlus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not associate with us then. He keeps his distance. Atzlus. If we're down, if we're depressed, the Shechina removes itself. Shaykh, if we're frivolous, not serious, Shechina removes itself. Kalis Reish, that's lightness of head, where nothing means anything. Now, the Shechina distances itself. Dvorim Betelim. Dvorim Betelim is idleness. Kodesh Baruch Hu likes industrious people, doesn't like idleness. People sit and do nothing, or chatter, empty talk, empty gossip. No, there's no Shechina then. Elamiteich dvar simcha shel mitzvah. But when there is a true rejoicing and a true happiness and a true elevation, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes around. And this we see with David, because when he was down and broken. So first he had to sing some of his songs and play on his harp. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him. When he was in a good state of mind to begin with, he was happy and rejoicing to begin with, then it states David, the David Mishmar. Then he was able to sing right away. And the Gemara brings a further proof. Shinema vato kihuli menagin vahoye kenagin amanagin vatiya lov yad Hashem. Elisha the prophet, he saw Rosho, Yehoram, and he became angry when he saw him. You should. You see a Rosho, an evil person, you should become upset and angry. And Yehoshaphat wanted him to give him some prophecy. And he tried, he wasn't able to. So he said, Kehuli Menagin. He says, bring me someone who can play a musical instrument. See, someone came with a musical instrument. And as he started to play a nice soothing song, his anger subsided. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back to him, and he was able to give the prophecy. So what do we see from here? We see that if when a person is not b'simcha, he's not considered himself. David was not David. When a person is not b'simcha, Shechina is not with him. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not there. If a novi, a prophet, is not b'simcha, he's an ice prophet, not a prophet anymore. And he has to bring himself back to simcha in order to get his prophecy back. Then the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, "Amar of Yehuda, Amarav v'chein l'dvar halacha." This goes also for Torah. Person wants to learn Torah. He wants to pasken halacha. If he's broken, if he's depressed, the Torah is going to be of a very poor quality. If he's mole, full of simcha and goodness of heart, then the Torah will be of a very high quality. Omar Rav Nachman, v'chein l'chalem tov. Rav Nachman added also, if you want to dream well, if you want good dreams at night, then go to bed with a simcha. You go to bed worried, you go to bed feeling upset or depressed, then a person brings upon him bad dreams. Then the Gemara asks the Kasha. Omar Rav Gidl Amar Rav Kol Tamar Chocham Ayeshiv Lifnei Rabbi Vein Sif Seisov Neitfis Mar Tichavino. How can you say that a person, when he sits and learns, he's supposed to be full of simcha, full of rejoicing? It states that when a Talmud sits by a Rebbe in a shir, he is supposed to sit like Klal Yisrael when they were by Har Sinai, that they received the Torah. And there they were with a tremble. When Yisrael was by Har Sinai, they trembled. They trembled so much that they asked Moshe, look, we heard enough of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You listen to the rest and you tell us what he said. This was the tremble. And that's how if a Talmud wants to be Makabel Torah, if he wants to receive Torah from a Rebbe, that's how he has to learn from the Rebbe. He has to learn as if he's standing by Har Sinai. So how can you say that a person should be so rejoicing? Yeah. So the Gemara says, no, he says, firstly, that's by a Talmud. A Talmud, a Yeshiv Bifnei Rabbi, who's sitting in front of his Rebbe. But what about the Rebbe himself? The Rebbe, who's giving over the shir, he has to be full of simcha. It states that the Devorim were smeching. Tosfos brings that when Benaza used to learn, the Gemara says, a bird flew over his head, would be nisraf, would be full of fire. So Rashi and Tosfos bring because his Torah was like the Torah at Sinai, which was making a Sinai. They came with such a rejoicing and a fire. So firstly, the Rebbe has to be rejoicing. Or let's say if the Talmud is not sitting by the Rebbe, he has to be rejoicing. Secondly, the Gemara says, even when a Talmud is sitting by a Rebbe, and he has to sit, it brings he must sit b'yira, b'ema, b'reses u'b'pachat. He has to sit with the utmost seriousness and with a tremble. Even then, the Gemara says, that's in the middle of the shir. But when he comes to the shir in the beginning, he has to be full of simcha. Because of this, the Gemara says that Rabbah, Mikami de Posach Lul de Rabbonon, when he would give a shir to the Rabbonon, and he would see, you came to Rabbah, Rabbah was from the greatest Amoroim, from the greatest Rebbe's of the Gemara. So the Talmidim were sitting there. They were sitting with a tremble. So Rabbah used to want to first relax them. So he had a custom, Omar Milsa de Bidichusa, Ubatche Rabbonan. He used to start the shir with something humorous. Maybe this is where the custom comes from, where many Rabbonim in their sermons start with a joke. He used to start the shir with a milsa de vidichusa, with a humorous story, kobatchi rabbonan, and then the Talmidim would laugh. Then he would see, now they're in good spirits, now he would carry on with the shir. Ubesayf Yosef be'em osa. But once he started the shir, then they would sit there with a fear and an awe. So here we see that this simcha is a condition in Torah. You don't have it, it says v'chein ledvar halocha. The Torah is a very, very poor quality. We have a further Gemara. The Gemara brings him sochim and daf samach vav on the base. Daf samach vav on the base, the Gemara brings Reish Lakish omar, kol odem shekeis, when a person gets angry. Now, again, when a person gets angry, this is contrary to being in good spirits. Im chocham hu chochmosim istalekes. If he has great Torah, he'll lose that Torah while he's angry. Im novi hu mevuasim istalekes mimeno. If he's a prophet, he'll lose the prophecy at that time. Im chocham hu, that's mimesha. This we see from Mesha. Vayikzev meshal pekudei achoil. When they went to take revenge from Midian, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them they should kill the men and the women, and they came back and they did not kill the women, and Moshe became angry because they didn't listen to the command. Later on we see that they had brought all types of spoils back from the war, and they brought back all types of utensils, golden utensils, silver. They brought back metal, and now they had to kasher them. So this was the first time in the Torah that they were being instructed on how to kasher keli. So it states, Elozer akein, zeish chukas haTorah. Elozer went to instruct them. Moras, where was Moshe? Michal de Moshe yale mimne. Moshe had to step aside and let Elozer give the shir, because all of a sudden he became confused. He wasn't 100% clear. Why? He had become angry. Here we see that when a Talmud Chochem becomes angry, while he's angry, his Torah drops. Because Torah can come only when a person is settled and in good spirits and with a simcha. Im Novihu, if he's a prophet, he'll lose his prophecy at that time. And this the Gemara brings from Elisha, the same proof that we brought before. Then the Gemara says further, he brings Kol Shekeis Afilo Peskin Omar Rav Moni Bar Potish Kol Shekeis Afilo Peskin Lov Gdula Min HaShomayim. If a person, if it was decreed in heaven that a person should get Gedula. Gedula is nobility. Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that this person should become a leader in Israel. If he becomes angry, this is his nature, then it's reversed. Peskin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu casts him down and does not give him this gedula, this nobility. How do we know this? From Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the oldest son from Yishai. In other words, he was the oldest brother from David. Yishai had, it's a question, if he had 7 sons or 8 sons. And David was the youngest. And Eliyahu was the oldest. And he was a raksum. He was a person who was hot-tempered. It states that when David came and he saw what was going on in the camp of Israel with Goliath, that Goliath was standing there and cursing Israel, and he was cursing Hashem, and he was challenging and mocking and threatening, and nobody would come out to fight him. David wanted to know what was going on, and he was a shepherd, and why won't anybody go out to fight him? So when Eliyahu saw him there, by Yichar af Eliyahu b'David, he became angry at David. Vayemer lo maze yoradato, what are you doing here? Ve'almino tashto me'at atzon aheino, and Bamidbar, and what did you do with all of the sheep? Who's watching the sheep? Ani yodati es deinecho v'Israel levavecho, I know your nature. I know what you're like. You came here just to watch the war, and meanwhile you've let go of the sheep, and what are you doing here? And he got all angry. Now, when Shmuel, Samuel the prophet, was instructed that he should go to the house of Yishai, and there he should anoint the one that will become the new king. So Yishai said, how will I know? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I will direct you. So he came, and naturally he started with the oldest son. So he started with Eliyahu. When he wanted to anoint Eliyahu, when he wanted to anoint each one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lei bozeh bochar Hashem, I have not chosen this one. When he came to Eliyahu, Vayim Hashem Hashmul al tabit el marehu vel gova ke mose. He was very handsome and he was very tall. He says, don't look at how handsome he is, and don't look at how tall he is. Ki ma'astiho, because I have rejected him. So on every other one it states, I have not chosen him. On him it states, I have rejected him. So the Gemara says, rejected implies that you had chosen him and you rejected him. The Gemara says, yes. Eliyahu was chosen to become the king of Israel, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected him because he was a raksum, because of his hot temper. And the others he had never chosen. So we see that if someone who was decreed to become a leader, a king, a prince in Israel, and he's not of good spirits, not of good heart, but he's a person of anger and hot temperament, he will be rejected. Meiridin, they say. See, here we see that the lack of simcha, this brought down the level of Dovid HaMelech, to the point he couldn't write the Tehillim and he had to be Mishma L'David, first sing in order to come to his level. It chases away the Shechina. It takes away Nebuah, prophecy, from a prophet. It takes away Torah, even from Moshe. And it takes away Gedula. Someone who was set aside to become a prince or a king, Verid Naso, it's taken away from him. I have another Gemara also, in Brochus. Gemara brings in Brochus Daf Samach. Ahu Talmido, Davako Ozel Basrei de Rabbi Shmuel Berab Yesi Beshuka de Tzion. There was a Talmud, a disciple, and he was walking behind Rabbi Shmuel Berab Yesi in the marketplace in Tzion, marketplace in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. Chazo, so Rabbi Shmuel saw the Komafchid, that this person trembled. He was afraid. Omalei, so he said to him, Chatoat, you're a chater, you're a person with sins, because it states, Pachtu b'tzion chatoim. Those who are always afraid, that's the sin in them that causes that fear. So the disciple answered, but it states, Ashri odem afachi tomit. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, how fortunate is the person who always fears. He says, no, person is not allowed to go around with fear. That King Solomon said, how fortunate is a person that always fears, that's when he fears for his learning, for his Torah. Rashi says, because then he says, let me just find it here. Fortunate is the one who's constantly afraid that he will forget his Torah. Then he will constantly be in review, constantly review it. A person who's not afraid he'll forget something, he doesn't bother to be chazer, he doesn't bother to review. But if you always think that I'm going to forget, if I have to learn it over again, I have to learn it over again, I have to learn it better, that's ashrei, that's fortunate. But only to divrei Torah, where it can come to some constructive purpose. But he says, otherwise you're not allowed to go around with a fear. Then the Gemara brings another case. Yehuda bar Nosson have a shokel v'ozel basrei d'Rav Amnuna. Yehuda was walking behind Rav Amnuna, Esnach. So he gave a groan which showed that he was afraid. Omalei, he says, Yisurim boyahu gabra lasuya nafshe. If you go around with a fear like that all of the time, you are inviting affliction to come upon yourself. Because it says, Ki pochat pocharati biyoseini. Vashe yigorti yobeli. Brings a pasuk from Eve. Those people that go around with a fear and a worry all the time, they invite, heaven forbid, affliction upon themselves. A person must have confidence. So he asked also, but it states, Asher yod mefachat tomid, how fortunate it is that a person will always be afraid and always worry. That's limited to a person's Torah. So here we see lack of confidence, lack of assurity, a worry, a fear. That's the sins in a person. And that will bring affliction, heaven forbid, on the person. To the contrary, we find again in the Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis states Amra Baba Mashmul Shlei Shonim Nechalku Beishame Beishil. The house of Shammai and the house of Hillel, they were two great rival groups in amongst the Tanoim, the sages of the Mishnah. They argued and debated in many, many halachas for 3 years. And they argued as to who the halacha should be like. Halolo Aimri, because they had many, actually they argued for more than 3 years. And they had many differences of opinions when it came to the halacha. The Shammai, the house of Shammai had one opinion when it came to many, many halachas, and the house of Hillel had another. For 3 years they argued who should the halacha be like. The house of Shammai said that the halacha should be like us, the decision, judgment should be like us, and the house of Hillel said it should be like us. Until Yotzeh Baskol, until a voice came down from heaven, Omro Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elohim Chayim, and it said that both the decisions of Shammai and the decisions of Hillel, they are both the words of the living God. But the final judgment, the final decision should be in favor of Hillel. So the Gemara says, V'chi me'ache she'elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim b'bnei ma'zeh ma'zochu be'silu likvei halocha k'meison. If both are the words of the living God. In other words, we cannot say one was right and one was wrong. They're both right, except they had different perspectives. So then why? But we only can do one way. So why did heaven decide that the halacha should be, when it comes to how we should do practically, it should be like Beis Hillel? So you might think, the Gemara might say, because Hillel were, they were wiser. Now, they were both very, very wise. And the fact is, Shammai could have been wiser. So perhaps you'll say that Hillel was more righteous. He was a greater tzaddik. They were both tzaddikim. One was not more righteous than the other. So then why? Mora says, "Mipnei shenechin ba'aluvin hoyu." Because Hillel, Rashi brings aluvin yisavlonim. Hillel were Nechin and Aluvin. Hillel were the school of Hillel taught tolerance. They taught patience. They taught flexibility. They were not rigid. They were not hot-headed. Mora brings him a sect to Shabbos where they used to try. There was these two people that they made a bet to try to get Hillel angry, and under no circumstances could they get him angry. He was always good-hearted and relaxed, while Shammai were very rigid and very demanding of others and very exacting. This is the reason that the Gemara, tzaddikim, righteous, they both were. Wise, you'd have to go a long way to find someone wiser than the house of Hillel or the house of Shammai. So what was the difference? Because nechin ba'aluvim. Hillel was tolerant. He was not hot-tempered. He was good-hearted, always besimcha, always relaxed, always patient. This is why the halacha was like that. And the Maral brings, it's not because of reward. We rewarded Hillel because of that. No. He says because the halacha is the perfect yashrus, the perfect straight path of the Torah. Halacha is your final decision. It's called halacha. The Gemara brings halacha v'halicha. It's how one should walk. So it doesn't go to the right or to the left. And he says if a person wants to stand straight and walk straight, this is how he has to be. This must be his nature. And then he can come to such a yashvis, to something which is perfectly in center, not to the right or not to the left. Because if he's going to become too intense or too rigid or too demanding or too angry or hot-tempered, he's going to go off to a side. And the Gemara brings further, V'shenin divreihan v'divrei beisham v'leid ele shemakdim v'divrei beisham v'divreihan. They were so good-tempered that when someone would ask them what the halach is, what is the law in this case, they never said only the decision of the house of Hillel. They would say, this is how Beis Hillel says and this is how Beis Shammai says. Not only the decision of both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, but even more, they would first say the opinion of Beis Shammai and then Beis Hillel. Brings a case, see, where they were asked the halacha, and they said, first they said the decisions of Beis Shammai, they would say, this is how Beis Shammai says and this is how Beis Hillel says. And we have this in the Mishnah in Ovis. Mishnah of Ovis at the beginning of Perek Vov, Rameya Reimer, Kala Esik B'Teira Lishma, whoever learns Torah Lishma for the sake of Torah itself, Zeh L'Dvorim Harbe, he comes to many great things. And one is it spreads Misameach HaSamokom, Misameach HaSabrius. He brings Simcha to the world. He brings Simcha to the people, and he brings Simcha even to Hashem. And in the Mishnah, in that Perek in Mishnah Zayin, states that you need 48 qualities in order to come to greatness in Torah. So one of the conditions is Simcha. So a person shouldn't think that, look, it's very nice for a person to be b'simcha, but if you're not b'simcha, you can also serve Hashem. You can be depressed and you can be down, but you can also be a good Jew. Not so. Not so. Firstly, we see here that the rebuke was, not that you didn't serve Hashem, but you did not serve me with a simcha and a goodness of heart. And this is why I'm bringing these klolos, heaven forbid, on Israel. And we see that how can we say that a person can be also a good Jew even though he's sad, even though he's down? We see that one loses his Torah if he's not in good spirits. Prophet loses his prophecy if he's not in good spirits. The Shekhinah removes itself from him if he's not in good spirits. If he was determined, if he was set aside, it was decreed on him that he should become a king or a prince in Israel, and he's a person of nature that's not in good spirits, he loses that. David HaMelech couldn't write his Tehillim until he was in good spirits. And the halacha was set like Beis Hillel because they were always in good spirits. So how could one say, look, a good Jew you could be anyhow, except it's a mitzvah to be b'simcha. And we saw even further, the Kohen, on the day that he loses a relative, a close relative, then he can't help it. He's not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and if he does, his korban is posel, is rejected. And a person cannot bring a korban shlomim if he's an onan, if he lost a close relative, because he's not sholem, he's considered a half a person. Now, therefore, it's a great obligation on every individual to work on this. Doesn't come by itself. Especially like we mentioned, there's plenty of things to be upset about today, and there's plenty of things to be depressed about and to worry about. But nevertheless, a Jew is obligated under all circumstances to uplift his spirits so he can serve Hashem. Now we have
we have a number of things which cause a disturbance to a person and disturbs that simcha. And we have another number of things that bring simcha to him. Let's first speak about some of these things that become a disturbance to him, doesn't allow him to be b'simcha. We'll have to be very brief because this is a very, very wide area. Many times, unfortunately, the Gemara says, people have troubles, but we bring them on ourselves. They're not troubles that come to us from out of the blue. Many times we volunteer to walk into a minefield which could have been avoided, or we even create our own minefields. We create, unfortunately, our own source. And when there are tzoros, man-made tzoros, there can be nothing greater that can become a greater disturbance to good spirits in simcha. For example, one of the greatest opposing factors to good spirits in simchas is, heaven forbid, sickness. A person suffers, and he suffers from lack of good health. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos, beginning of Perek Dalet, he says, "Oil v'yes haguf bori v'sholem midarki Hashem hu." This, that a person should be strong and healthy. He says, besides this being just derech eretz, good sense, but this is midarki Hashem. This is inclusive in mitzvahs Hashem. Why? Sharei i'efshe shiyovin. It's impossible for a person to understand Torah, or yoda dove miyedias abere, or comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hu chayla, and he's sick. A person is sick. A person is of poor health. Again, he's a chatzi gavro, he's a half a person. He learns Torah with a half a mind. He serves Hashem with a half a heart. He lives with a half a heart. All right, so perhaps then, what's the etzah? We should always be mispalel, we should always pray to Hashem for good health. No, the Rambam doesn't say that. He says, "Lefichok tzoch laharchi godem atzme midvorim ama abdin es aguf." He says, don't bother praying for good health when you yourself damage your own health. See, that's Boba Meisim. He says, "Lefichok tzoch laharchik odem atzmai midvorim ama abdin es aguf." Therefore, a person is obligated to distance himself from all things that are destructive for good health. "Ulahanig atzmai midvorim amavrin b'hamachlimim," and he should train himself to live in a manner which is good for the person, which brings strength and health to the body. And then he goes on a whole perek to explain this mitzvah. He talks about eating, and he talks about drinking, and he talks about personal hygiene, and he talks about exercise, and he talks about sleep. Doesn't say go say Tehillim. No. You can't expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make up for your errors. That's what the Rambam is telling you. We don't have time to go through. This is a whole perek in itself. So we once gave a shiur on this whole Rambam. It was a series of two shiurim. Then he brings one more halacha, in halacha tes vav. He says, Achila gasa leguf kol odom kemei sama moves. He says, overeating to every person, that's the same as eating poison. Can't eat poison and then say tilim. Vohu ikur lechol achaloim, he says. And this is the main cause of disease. Vereva achaloim. Incidentally, the doctor, the Rambam was a great doctor also. Vereva achaloim sheboim ala odom. He says, the majority of disease. Now, disease, imagine if we would be free of disease. What a different world it would be. What a different life it would be. And we're always blaming disease on nature or whoever it might be. He says, Reva Chaloyim, the majority of disease, Sheboim ala Odom, that comes on people, Einam ela mipnei macholim raim. It's only because of bad foods. O mipnei shemala bitnei ba'echel achila gasa afila macholim taivim. Or because of even good foods, but of overeating. That's what the Rambam says. Hu sheshleima omar bechokhmosai. This is what King Solomon said in his wisdom. Shemer pivu lishenei, shemer mitzoris nafshei. A person will guard his mouth and his tongue, then he guards himself from great sores. Kleima shemer piv. The King Solomon mentioned two things. Pivu lishenei, mouth and tongue. Mouth, that's from eating things that he shouldn't eat. Or eating too much. Tongue, that's from talking things, saying things that he shouldn't say. Shem epiv ul shenay. Again, Shlomo HaMelech said, you want to keep good health. He didn't say, daven good. He says, watch what you eat, and how you eat, and how much you eat. Rambam goes through the whole thing here. Now, we live in a world where, like the Rambam writes in another place, he writes, he says, a person should not be kibahema, like an animal. He says, what's an animal? An animal eats what tastes good. We live in a world that sells taste. We eat what tastes good. If it tastes good, we eat it. If it doesn't taste good, we don't eat it. We live in a world of junk foods, of drugs, of alcohol, of tobacco, of people that constantly, years and years, abuse them, their bodies. He talks about sleep. We live in a world of late nights, not necessarily by people who are sitting into the middle of the night learning Torah. People who, it's commonplace. And you talk to someone, they'll say, no, this is the way of life. This is the way of life. Someone can rest up on Shabbos and then Saturday night stay up till 3 in the morning and start the week off again. This, where we constantly abuse ourselves. Now, that's one example that the Gemara says. The Gemara says, harbe mesim belei itom. Many times people die and we say his time came. The Gemara doesn't say that. It says, harbe mesim belei itom. Many die before their time. It's given the power to a person to kill himself. It doesn't only have to be through suicide. He can slowly, over the years, destroy his health. Harbe mesim belei itom. Something to think about. We always say someone dies. Well, his time came. Not necessarily so. Could have been decreed that he's supposed to live till 80 or 90. And the man died when he was 40 or 60, 50. Now, this is one of the great sorrows that creates enormous aggravation and enormous depression and so on. The fact is, many of these poor health habits directly create a directly disturb a person's emotions, his emotions and his mental well-being. Another example. Another great area that destroys simcha is when people have aggravation from machlekes. This is one of the greatest areas. Machlekes, family machlekes, relative machlekes, faribles, and so forth. Hatreds, jealousies, and so on. The Rambam brings, we quoted it just recently, at the end of Tumas Ras, he says that much of this can be avoided. This is what we're talking about. Preventive medicine. He says much of this can be avoided. People go around and say, I have so much aggravation. It's driving me crazy. It's taking my gesundheit away from me. Because I have machlekes and I have haribul. The Rambam says much of this can be avoided. Why? He says choose carefully who you associate with. He says you go and sit amongst people that talk Lashon Hara, that talk gossip. He says that arbalei machlekes. You get people, many times people tell me, they go to a certain place, and there's always Soros there. I says, what do you go there for? Well, because of social reasons, because of this. All right, if that's these are your priorities, we can't talk further. Certain people, they mix with certain people that there's always Soros. The Rambam says, you associate with tzaddikim. Associate with people that speak in wisdom, that speak in Dvar Hashem, that speak in mitzvahs, that speak in chesed. Why is it, he says, that we find people that they want to associate dafke with those who sit and gossip all day, those who will say Lashon Hara, those who will make machlekes? This is preventive medicine. Again, this is tzoras that one brings upon himself. You talk to people today, we mentioned this on Shabbos, the greatest mitzvah, one must socialize. One must be a social being. True, one must socialize. But what does that mean? That means that you can't miss a party, no matter what it is. This is the greatest mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon wrote, and others also, there's such a thing as to be, that a person should be bedidus. In other words, he told his daughters, he says, you want to go to shul to daven is one thing. You want to go to shul to talk. You want to go to shul to hear what others have to say. You want to go to shul to see what others are wearing, so that will raise your desires that you need more clothing. He said, stay home and daven, even on Rosh Hashanah and even on Yom Kippur. Don't go. Some will tell you, how can that be? Must go to shul. Must do this. Must go to every party, even though you can come back all upset or full of kino or full of machlekes. A person must weigh these things, because what he's doing, he's voluntarily walking into a minefield. He has to weigh these things. Then people go around and say, look, I have so much soreness, I have so much aggravation, and if you start sorting it out, they're creating their own minefields. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. Shemer piv l'shene, the Vilna Gaon brings it in his letter. Shemer piv l'shene, shemer mitzoras nafshoy. If you watch your mouth from what you eat, and if you watch your tongue from what you're saying, it's your own benefit. You'll save yourself from a lot of tzoras. and you can be a happy person. Another area, daiga, worry. There can be no greater disturbance to good spirits than worry. And we all worry. But much of the worry we bring upon ourselves. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, marbe nechosi, marbe daiga. Is it really necessary for us to have so much? Is it really necessary to have so much? Everything that we have, you should know, a price tag comes with it. Besides what you pay for it, price tag comes with it. You must have a car. We live in a society where we must have a car. You want 2 cars, you want 3 cars, you want 4 cars. Besides the fact that you're going to pay for it, and that's going to create more pressure on your budget, and that's going to create more work pressure on you to work for it. It'll create other problems too. You got to pay insurance on it. You got to find another garage to park it in. Already you got so many cars, you can attract thieves, and so on and so on. But this is with everything like that. The Gemara says, "Kol ha'yesek inotel domi." Material goods were given to a person that they should serve him. They should be his servants. But when the material goods come to the point where he is becoming a slave to them, he's working all his life to pay for them, or he's serving them, they become merely a great burden that pulls him down. See? That pulls him down. The Gemara brings an Erevin in the Yud Gimel. The Gemara says, it states, "Kol adeche kesashor, shor de kosoi." Anyone who pushes the hour will push him back. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Mishyagei li lehashir ulis gadol v'reya sheinu matzliach b'afal pikein chayzer v'helich lemerchokim umnachnis atzmai legvois." If a person tries to make money, he should. He has to make a panosa. And he's trying to make more money. He's trying to make more money, but gatenisht, it's not going. He still tries, it's not going. See, he tries even harder. And he goes far away, distant lands, to try to make money. That's pushing the hour. And the hour will push him back. Kolanitcha b'mnei shor, shor emedeslay. But whoever allows the hour in the first place to push him back, then the hour will wait for him. L'achas mana sida lama leishon umutzlechas. If a person is trying and he sees it doesn't go, then he should say, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm not obligated to kill myself. I must put in a good, hard day's honest work. And whatever I make, I make. So this is Kol Hanitcha Mipnei Ashor. And there'll be, my hour will come. Then Shor Emer Eslay. His hour will come. One day, he'll put in the same amount of work, and all of a sudden, a lot of money will come in. See? Now, how many people do we have that run from one end of the world to the other? And they spend their life and they spend their health. It states, "Ezo osho asameach bechelkei." A person has to look at what he has. Unfortunately, Western culture teaches us to look at what we do not have, not what we have. The minute we buy something new, they show us what else we can have. See? And the Chazal say that you want to be happy, then look at what you do have and enjoy it. Don't look at what you don't have. And put in a good day's work. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you what you should have.
If you see it goes, pursue it. If it's not going, leave it. So, there are many things that destroy simcha in spirits, but unfortunately we bring it upon ourselves. We don't have who to blame it for. And this is in the hands of people. To the contrary now, there are many things that bring simcha to a person. For example, Avedis Hashem. The Rambam brings in Hilchas Deah at the end of Perek Gimel. He says as follows. He says, Amani Gatzme al Piyaro Refuah. If a person takes good care of himself, he goes to gym, he does exercise, he walks, he eats good, and so forth and so on, healthy. He says he shouldn't do this merely for the sake that he should be strong and that he should have strong sons that can come into the business or come on the farm. No. But he should do this in order that he should have a strong mind and body in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand his Torah. Because Yef Shish Yovin, it's impossible for a person to understand the wisdom of Hashem and he's not well. And he should try to have strong children, not because they can be a help to him, but Ulai Yechochem V'Godel B'Yisrael, because maybe he'll produce good, healthy, strong children. Maybe one day they will become great people in Israel. Nimtza mahalak b'derech zeh. He says, if a person does this way, if this is his attitude, then he's not only serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he does mitzvahs. He serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. When he does business, when he eats. He says, even when he sleeps, that's a mitzvah. Because he's sleeping in order to rest himself, so he'll be able to get up strong and again serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimtzu shina shelei aveda l'mokom. Even his sleeping is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said, kol ma'asech yeh l'shem shemayim b'chol drochecho deil. That in everything we do, we can come close to Hashem. Now, we said the aveda, when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there has to be b'simcha. And the Rambam says you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that you do, if your attitude and direction is proper. And that brings simcha to a person in everything that he does. He knows that he's serving Hashem, and he knows that he has reward for it. Why shouldn't he be besimcha? Torah, in essence, brings simcha to a person. There's nothing that brings greater simcha to a person when he learns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, because he's coming close to Hashem himself. When we say that there's plenty to be depressed about, that's this world. But we look up at Hashem's world, that's a different world. That's a beautiful world, that's a perfect world. And when we involve ourselves in his Torah, we are involving ourselves in his world. Even David HaMelech, but we mentioned that it states three measures of Tzoras came to the world and one whole measure was given to David. David said, Lulei Seroska Shashuai. He says, it was the love that I had with your Torah that pulled me through. I heard a very nice story just recently from a good friend, Rabbi Meller from Yerushalayim, who he heard this in the name of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. Rav Aaron had a Talmud, he had a disciple who was very good in learning but also very good in business, and he wanted the disciple to carry on and learn, and the Talmud wanted to go into business and make money. So they were having this argument. So the Talmud said, but Rebbe, he says, I'll go into business, I'll make money, please God, I'll be successful, and I'll become a machzik Torah. I will support Torah. Isn't it true that those who support Torah have the same olam haba, the same world to come, as those who learn Torah? So the Baran says, the Elam Abos is Elba. The world to come is exactly the same. Oh, but the Elam Abos is Elba, but the Elam Hazeh is Antish. But this world is different. He says, you'll become a supporter of Torah, you'll have the same world to come as those who learn Torah. That's the world to come, but you won't have the same Elam Hazeh. This world won't be the same. This world won't be the same. One of the greatest injections in a person's life of simcha is when he comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And then finally, a person has to learn that he must... We have many people that they are sad, and they convince themselves that they're sad and there is no fulfillment. Chazal tell us differently. You ask people, some people, and they'll say, look, I don't have such a good life. I have a hard life. I have this, that, and so on. And they go around with such an attitude, with a black cloud over their heads. Chazal tell us that we must give praise and song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. Not empty platitudes. Just by merely saying Baruch Hashem. No, I'm not talking about that. The Chazal said that Kol HaNeshoma Tehallel Ko, every soul praises Hashem. Neshoma comes from the word Neshima. Because I call Neshima means breath. Because Vayipach Ba'apo Vakoresh Baruch Hu gave the soul in the person by breathing into his nostrils. That's why the sign of life is breath. And the sign of death is when breath departs. Because the soul departs with the last breath. So it states, Kol HaNeshoma, every soul should praise Hashem. The Gemara says that means Kol Neshima, every breath. That one has to praise Hashem for every breath. Not just say Baruch Hashem, but every breath he has what to be thankful for. Rabbi Avigdor Miller once gave an example. He says, put your head in a bucket of water for 2 minutes and you'll see why on every breath you have what to be thankful for. As long as a person has a breath left in him, he can have, heaven forbid, a holocaust around him. He still has to praise Hashem because he's still living. And he still has a breath. And if he's still living, that's a schus. And he can still serve Hashem in this world. So as long as he has a breath, he has what to praise Hashem. And what to feel besimcha. And David HaMelech, who was the greatest writer of praises to Hashem, even with all of his sorts, states David came from Yehuda. Yehuda, his name meant praise, Hodu. Hodu is the greatest form of praise. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Why was Yehuda called Al Shem Hodah, because of praise? Because when Leah had him, he was the fourth son of Leah. Leah said, till now I had what to be thankful for. But now that you have given me four sons, which is Yeshem Michelki, more than my portion, because there were four wives and each one should have had three. You've given more. So hapam edel Hashem. Now not only I must be thankful, but I must give always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al kein korish mei Yehuda, and therefore she named him praise. And that's where David came from. A Jew's heart must be always full of praise. Because he's living. Because he's breathing. Because he was given a Torah. He was given mitzvahs. No matter how dark the world looks, to the contrary, the darker the world looks, the greater his praise should be. Because he sees Shahibdilonim in Amim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us different than all of the nations. Then the light comes even stronger. So it's not just a matter of saying Baruch Hashem. A Jew has to feel that. And if he feels that, then he's besimcha. And this was David HaMelech. It's brought, the Gemara brings in Sochim in Kufyud Tesamad Beis. It states that Laosi Lovay, the world to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a great Suda. And all of the Ovis will be there. Avram will be there. Yitzchak and Yaakov. And at the end of the Suda will come time to bench. So it will be a question, who should bench? So naturally, Avraham is the oldest. So they'll offer the cup of wine to Avraham to bench. So Avraham says, no, I cannot bench. It's not for me, because I had a son by the name of Ishmael. So they go to Yitzchok. And Yitzchok says, no, it's not for me. I had a son by the name of Esav. So they go to Yaakov. Yaakov, all of his sons were good. He says, no. He says, I married two sisters that later on the Torah forbade. They go to Moshe. Moshe says, I never had the skus to go into Eretz Yisrael when I was living, or even when I was dead. I was buried in the desert. They'll go to Yeshua. Yeshua will say, nope, I never had the skus to have a son. So it's a dilemma, who should bench? Omalei David. So they say, Tul Berech. David should bench. David says, Ani Avorech, I will bench. Vili Noel Avorech. And it's appropriate for me to bench. As it states, Kosh Yeshua's Es Ovishem Hashem Ekro. As David wrote, I will lift up the cup to Hashem and I will praise him. And the Maral says, why? Because it states, Tov Lev Yevorech. To give a brocha, you have to have goodness of heart. And the Tov Lev was David. He was always praising. He was always giving brachas. Therefore, li noel avorech. I am the one that should bench. And David was the one who had one third of the tzoras was given to him. Because on every breath he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are a few thoughts this evening on this very, very broad parsha of how a Jew under all circumstances must not fall to the ways of the world, where we become pessimistic, we become downtrodden, we go around with a black cloud over us. But a Jew always must be besimcha, and he shouldn't think that makes no difference. We see it makes an enormous difference in what kind of Jew he is. He should be zeicher to a year of simcha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.